up there with me?
Because I could build this stuff with my eyes closed.
Sir, I will not allow you to insult me in this manner.
Really? What manner would you prefer?
Listen to me, Hulk. You've got to help us stop the Puppet Master.
Hulk helps no one.
Ohotmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohotmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amelie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
John Jameson to Rick Jones.
Jameson, John Jameson. As promised, here's the son of J. Jonah Jameson. A real hero in comparison to Spider-Man, or a very 60s type American hero at any rate. He's an astronaut.
Does his papa know he's a hero?
You understand how the show works, right? I read like a long paragraph before you speak. We're going to keep that going.
Have we always done that?
Yes. He got he got space spores while he was out there.
Oh, thank God you said that.
And needs to wear a special NASA suit to keep his strength in check because it gave him super strength. But his father once persuaded him to go after Spider-Man with it. It didn't work out, and Spidey used electricity to zap the spores and return John to normal. Oh. On a later moon mission, Jameson found a red gemstone that he felt compelled to possess. Oh. Once on Earth, he stole it from the lab and made a pendant out of it, and on the night of the full moon, it turned him into a werewolf. As Man-Wolf, he once again fought Spider-Man, and even though Spidey threw the pendant into the Hudson River, the curse would be visited on John again and again, and Man-Wolf would continue to go on rampages during a full moon. Eventually, he was transported to the dimension from which the magic stone came and met the dying Star God, who wanted to pass its powers to another, to John, in fact, via the gemstone. In this realm, he could transform into a wolf and keep his human intelligence, throw energy blasts and stuff, and for a time, he was that world's champion. After he was cured, after this Ohotmu entry, he became Captain America's Quinjet pilot and only left his employ because he felt an attraction to Cap's girlfriend, Diamondback. Aww. He's now friends with Spider-Man and is always telling his dad to let up on him. And he also dated She-Hulk for a while. And from time to time, they turn him into Man-Wolf or Star God to cause trouble. You know, comics. And John is a decent and courageous man, a straight-laced hero. As Man-Wolf, he was a savage, mindless killer. And as Star God, he has his own mind, but drifted away from his humanity and could do things his personal code would not allow, like killing enemies. Pictured fighting Spider-Man while high on space spores. And we see his guises as both Man-Wolf and Star God.
Is that his father in the Man-Wolf,
like, in the background?
Well, it could be.
It looks like him.
I don't know. Somebody with a gun trying to kill a wolf?
Oh, I thought it was a stick. Sorry, it's the whole dog thing.
It's his dad throwing a stick.
That's because of the white streak.
It's a good bonding experience.
Yeah, you know.
But also, my God, it must be a very weird week that you found out that you're a werewolf.
Yeah, like, that's not what you want.
Terrible.
So he threw the necklace in the ocean.
The river.
I hope there's like a fish that got it. There's like a werefish somewhere in there.
That sounds
apparently
awful.
It was fished out by somebody who then turned him back into Man-Wolf.
A half fish, half wolf.
Which part is the fish?
Which part is the wolf?
Having that again.
Well, it needs to be the top because he needs legs to crawl out.
Oh man, wolf. No. Okay, so wolf feet, but with scales and weird fins.
It's like really terrifying, like head of a wolf with like a fishtail that's swimming really quickly through the water.
That's not even in the comics. You've completely made that up.
I'm picturing a really tiny wolf face on a fish, like a regular fish, and it's just kind of swimming around
like a little sea dog,
and it's like.
It's a seal.
It's an aggressive seal. Very aggressive seal.
You're welcome.
And then And then you just, you go for a swim and it just kind of bites you and you just kick it off.
So three looks on him. Three possible looks.
I find his costume terribly boring.
I mean, it's a NASA suit.
Right,
but
I mean, it's his spacesuit.
Can be interesting.
It feels a little hazmat suit.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
To me, it feels like a bottle of Raid or like something that you... Something that kills bugs would look like.
Like poison colors?
Like spore?
Or spores are mushrooms, right? Or some fungi?
Space.
Is he a fun guy?
But honestly, I think he looks like if he's gonna clean my house that's been like trashed. Oh. Mm.
An exterminator, yeah.
I don't know.
Kids. Was it a werewolf?
A werefish. Anyway.
And there's a lot of, like, really, like, round bits to it. Like, I feel like everything that's round is really round. Like, it was sort of like...
I mean, the collar, you could...
Yeah, the top is for the, like...
The bubble helmet. The helmet.
The bubble helmet.
Yeah. But why is the crotch area so triangular? Like, it's very sharp.
It's very
sharp.
Some of us are very sharp.
That's very concerning.
Have you seen a doctor?
Sharp crotchal region.
No, but it's like, you know, when they say
that a man's brain is there, right? It's just it's sharp, he's got a sharp brain.
I'm so very concerned for everyone involved.
But did these spacesuits actually look like that at some point?
I don't think so.
Not that bright. Yeah.
You mean like real spacesuits?
Yeah.
No.
I was just saying these are colors that I like. And I'm not sure I like them together, but I do like the colors.
I don't like the sections in the front, which I imagine are like piping for...
Breathing purposes.
Breathing purposes.
Probably, yeah.
So, okay, so the suit contains his strength.
The spores made him too strong. The suit kept his strength in check.
Okay.
Why then?
So if you need to take off the suit to like... use the bathroom.
But super his strength.
Beep. Oh, yeah. It breaks the plumbing. Excellent.
Oh, my God.
He misses the toilet.
Boom! There's like a hole all the way through the house. Shattered ceramic everywhere.
But you can pee in your suit.
You're right.
Right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
But
that's piping right on the side here.
It just seems like a lot of dry humping in our future. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah. Well, then he was cured of this.
And became that.
You got it better.
Only choose one.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, you know, if it's just one night.
I mean, we have periods. We know how it is.
I don't want to hang out when he's a werewolf. Yeah. Like, but, like, we can hang out the rest of the time.
Time of the month to be a werewolf.
Wait, is it? Like, is there a...
A connection?
A connection, yeah.
Well, it's like moon
cycle.
The moon cycle. You can make that argument.
Mm-hmm. You mean a connection with him?
No, a connection between the periods and the myth of the werewolf.
They're blood hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Oh, I'm sure.
Have we just solved folklore?
We've solved.
I mean, look at the thighs.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much of a costume when he's man-wolf, because it's probably whatever he... Because this is the space...
Oh, it's the space suit.
It's the space suit all ripped. But
what about this that looks like an umbrella?
That's a bow.
That's a bow, yeah.
I like this suit.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this called again?
Star God.
It's very...
Star-Lord? Well,
it's Peter Pan. Yeah, Peter Pan and Robin Hoodish.
Yeah,
with a wolf.
I love a good thigh strap.
Actually,
garter.
This feels like something that could be in, like, Zelda.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That body part looks kind of scaly.
Oh, shit! So he got the fish! The stone is still inside the fish!
Presumably it's chainmail.
No, it's fish.
It's scale.
Fish mail.
But yeah, like Nat said, it's just one day a month. So it's either like a bit like Harry Potter where you just go somewhere, hang out, and like chain yourself. Or like, I don't know, go in the woods, have fun. It's your hall pass. Go free.
Just don't hurt me.
Yeah, no.
Kill other people. It's fine.
Yeah. Do you think if you date each other for a while, your cycles synchronize?
I'm sure.
So you're just like at home eating chocolate in pain, and just like, I'm out.
Well, does that mean if you know you're willing to go with the werewolf, the monthly werewolf outbreak?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that mean then that you are interested in John as himself?
Honestly, he does sound pretty great. Like, oh, based on your description, he sounds like a nice guy.
He sounds like a nice guy, but I really don't like the picture. Like, he looks
stern and mean.
He looks Have you seen his father?
I know, I was comparing the two. They did kind of make them look similar.
We've since met the father of J. Jonah Jameson, because he's J. Jonah Jameson Jr.
Yeah.
So the other J. Jonah Jameson, eventually, a much older man, married Aunt May.
What?
Which made Spider-Man, made Peter Parker and J. Jonah Jameson this guy.
That's weird. Oh my
God. And if that isn't comics.
And he was, like, that father.
Strict.
His father is even tougher on him, sort of thing. So it still treats him like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay.
He treats... is perpetuating the same
J. Jonah,
behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like awful.
A child. I mean, that is how personalities work.
I don't think I'd want my kids to be raised by... a military man.
No. Well, I thought we were going to see a wolf.
I mean, once a month I could deal with.
We have. Actually, it's not once a month. It's 3 nights.
Yeah, it's during the full moon.
Yeah.
I was raised by a military man.
That's right.
Yes, but he seems very sweet and watches rom-coms. I don't think it's the same vibe here.
And also, you're terrified of a lot.
Yeah.
But he's still, I mean, J. Jonah was very supportive of John.
And propped him up as
a real American hero.
I do appreciate that, like, he will actually, like, confront his dad and be like, no, you're wrong about this. So I appreciate that of him.
Keep in mind, though, that if you're sleeping with this, you're spending Christmas with him.
Not necessarily.
I mean, not if it falls on the full moon, sure.
If I'm willing to spend 3 days a month where he's... I can live with 1 day Christmas.
Like, honestly, clearly you don't have a long-distance relationship with your in-laws. Because when you go visit your in-laws, you have to stay.
And presumably we're all living in New York.
Exactly. You're in the Marvel universe, so everybody's in New York.
You're right. And a little bit, like, for me, it compares to one of the mothers... that the guy I was dating hated my guts, and she was terrible. So everyone cannot be worse than her. So it's just a step up from there. And I think he's not far behind her, but a step up.
You know, it's like one of those situations where, like, you just don't respond to certain things this person says and just kind of scoot by.
Yeah, I've been praying real good to do that with my ex.
So it's in the... There is a minus column where J. Jonah figures...
opening Christmas presents.
So is John Jameson hot or not?
How
do you think he opens Christmas presents?
I want to know what he gives his Christmas presents.
Cigars. I'm assuming... You know what I imagine,
it's just
actually?
Cigars.
It's going to be incredibly specific, but in Scrooged, the... movie,
Bill Murray movie?
With Bill Murray. He goes through, like, a list with the secretary, and he just says a bunch of, like, super generic things, like, this person's getting towels, this person's getting whatever. And that's exactly how I imagine, where it's just, he has one idea or two ideas, and then everyone is getting that.
And he's not even getting it. It's his...
Yes, someone else is dealing with that.
And she's wrapping it, she's putting the notes, she puts the bow.
Like, when it's his turn to open presents, is he like those fathers that pretend that the wrapping paper is the present?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think he
was disappointed from the start till the end.
Yeah, he just wants to get it over with.
I'm just assuming everyone only gives him scotch. So
and cigars.
I think when he does get something different, he looks at it, okay. And puts it aside, and everyone's just like, oh,
I mean,
poor guy.
My military dad, when he receives gifts, just looks at us and says, huh. That's nice.
I don't think J. Jonah is even a military. It's John. John would be a military father.
But he has that vibe.
Oh, maybe he spoils when you're opening the gift. He's like, it's a paperweight.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Oh, I can see.
If I keep mentioning John, it's because J. Jonah was last year.
Yeah, but fish were fish.
But we're fish.
We're fishes every week.
I feel like...
We're fish are hot.
Manwolf in this picture, it looks very Baywatchy.
It is. It's very feminine.
No, it looks like a cover of, like, the romantic, like, Yeah, like Harlequin.
You know nothing!
We're just missing Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Jameson, hot or not?
I think hot. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he might be like maybe a little too straight lace, but he's pretty cool though.
I can loosen them up.
Yeah, I'm lukewarm because we've talked about so much more things than just him. Than I can't say hot because I've been interested by everything else except him.
That's how I feel too. If he was interesting, we'd be talking about him, but we're just talking about other stuff. We should just move on.
Living in the shadow of his dad.
It's and fish.
Tiny.
You know what? I'd watch his dad eat sushi.
I don't think he eats sushi. I feel like he'd be real frustrated.
He'd be real mad.
Oh, he would be eating them with a fork.
Speaking of frustrating.
Are you?
Next.
Aww. But Amini had something to say.
I doubt it.
Please tell me it's penis related.
It's not. I was just saying that the thighs are really sexy. In
absolutely.
The
yes. Must fit the muscles on
I'm
point.
Thinking of getting my boyfriend a garter now. That is all. It was important. We may move on.
You're adorable.
It's just a uniform.
Lean your head back for me.
Put my head back?
Yeah, just do it.
Wow. I'm back on the moon.
Jeffries, comma, Madison. Madison Jeffries, a member of the Canadian Super Team Alpha Flight.
Yay!
Though at this point, he's still just hanging around without a code name or a costume.
Okay.
It's a very civilian episode. Madison Jeffries is a mutant who has the power to affect metal, plastic, and glass to rearrange objects into new machines. So, for example, he could take a car and turn it into a fighting robot, or a lamppost and turn it into a laser cannon. He eventually merged with the box robot when its original user was killed and used that as his prime identity, transforming the robot body to create gun arms and whatever he needed with his machine transformation powers. His background is a little mysterious, but we know that he was one of the Canadians who enlisted in the American Armed Forces during the Vietnam War, which is a historical thing. Jeffries is kind of rough and uneducated, but he's as smart as any engineer and is one of the most capable and respected members of Alpha Flight. He has a sly sense of humor and is warm and human in his interactions. Pictured assembling a weapon from surrounding metal.
See, I was all down. I was like, this guy looks cool. And then you said the I word.
What is the I word?
Engineer.
Engineer is an E word.
We're actually French.
Carlos.
I also, I feel you, because I also was like, oh, an engineer, and I don't know what it is.
We had a big judgment on
I said, as dark as an engineer.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Aren't like 50% of our audience engineers?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
My now garter-wearing boyfriend is an engineer.
Yeah, you're right.
But it says he's mechanic is the job that he held.
Oh, I can live with that.
Soldier and mechanic.
But it sounds like if he's almost like a transformer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes other things.
I know, but I am so into it.
Yeah. Haven't we seen Box Robot before?
Yeah, we've seen Box in the Bees.
Yes,
20 years ago.
No, that's what I thought. I remembered that particular thing. Robot thing.
So Madison Jeffries became the new Box, and yeah, there's a completely different look that we'll see when we do the future looks kind of thing. But at this point, Joe Schmo here.
So what was the name of the guy that could also create anything for the X-Men? Was that Forge or something?
Forge, but he would have to build it.
Okay.
Whereas Madison Jeffries can just...
Wow.
Like, that's things very just, like, cool. Gravitate towards him.
Yeah,
it's like
telekinetically, I've got this machine.
That is a kick-ass power.
Yes, I like that a lot.
I wreak havoc on a dinner party.
Forks everywhere.
Can it only work on metal or anything?
It says metal, plastic, and glass. Basically, it means anything that's a machine.
But, like, wood?
No.
I don't think so.
So nothing that's like natural.
I know, but I wanted him to build me canvases.
I want it for myself. That's a niche request.
If he's like forged, does he have like a house with glass floor?
I was gonna say he can build a house.
No.
But he could build it.
He could build it much quicker than Forge.
Yeah. He looks like someone, but I can't figure out who he looks like.
I like his look so much. Like, really? I'm a fan of these sneakers. Liz, I think I own them.
I would wear this.
Absolutely.
There's something very Canadian about it.
Yeah. I think it's the hands in the pocket.
Well, he has gloves, so
It's always cool if you gotta keep your hands warm. That's a very Canadian posture.
I think it's even the posture, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's so cold that his hands are in gloves and in his pockets, but he's wearing sneakers.
So it's like early March.
And we don't know what province he comes from, which is rare for the Alphans.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, let's guess. Yeah, can we guess?
Okay, you're dressed like that.
I think he's I think he's Toronto or rural Ontario, but then moved to Toronto.
Ontario was my guess too.
I was gonna say Ontario too.
Yeah.
Cambridge, Ontario.
Yeah.
Don't know Cambridge.
I don't know why we all said Ontario.
He looks like he would go to a gig in Toronto.
I think
that's why.
It might be a little Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That actually might be it.
And I like that he's tall. I like tall men.
How tall?
6'1".
He's a perfect size.
Is his hair blue or it's black?
Black.
It's black.
Okay.
But he has blue eyes.
That's hot. I love that combination.
That's a good combo. Oh, we love it.
I love those jeans look so fucking comfortable.
Absolutely.
I want to see his butt in these jeans.
Like, he's probably been wearing those jeans for like the last like 10 years. So they're really comfortable?
He went to college with them, and he's like, this date is from the time I painted.
He bought them when he came out of the army.
I drank.
Yeah, yeah.
Vietnam War ended. Buy some jeans.
I like it. Like, I would go to a drive-in movie with him.
Yeah.
Or, like, for a hike. But not a big one.
Yeah.
He would be great at camping. Hike.
No, he'd be great in camping, I'm sure. He's Canadian, so of course.
He's not dressed for a hike, and I rarely am, but we could just, you know, find a park in the middle of a city.
We went for a hike last weekend, and I was dressed absolutely ridiculous, and everyone around me was looking like, why are you here? What are you doing here?
Everyone was in, like, snowshoes, and we're, like, walking around in vintage wear.
Yeah.
What I like is that it's never said anywhere how old he is, but you can tell by his face that he's not... Obviously, he's older than most characters that we've seen, but it's a good representation of what, like, I don't know, 40, 50-ish could look like without being, like, overly old.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
And sometimes in things like... The jump between young person and old person is ridiculous.
Yeah,
as soon as you're like 40, 25, you're a granny.
Or you're Professor X.
Yeah.
But in this case, I mean, he has to have fought in the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And now it's 1985.
Mm-hmm. He's a boomer.
I guess they're all boomers.
Yeah.
I know, but look at him. A lot of these characters
were born on a scale. They were born at some point, and then they were born at that other point, and they're like, they're eternally 18 or eternally 29. So they keep changing generations.
Forever 21 at the clothing store.
That store doesn't exist anymore. Yes,
I wouldn't like to be true. Forever 21.
No. No, 20. Well. No.
Just my body.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to.
No, I want to decay.
No.
But you could still eat cheese, though.
You're
actually
right.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
We don't know that.
I probably felt ill all the time and didn't know why.
Oh, yeah, okay. I like him.
Yeah.
Well, is Madison Jeffries hot or not?
I like
him. Yes. I would like to drink beer with him on a couch.
I feel like he'd have good stories.
Shit, yeah. Mm-hmm. He could chop some wood, man.
I always wanted a fireplace.
And he could steer the canoe.
Well, no, I'm not in
steer
water.
The canoe sounds like it should mean something.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just, okay, guys.
It's a Canadian innuendo.
Guys always insist on being at the back of the canoe because the back of the canoe steers. But half the guys I've been with can't steer a darn canoe.
Why are you censoring yourself?
I don't know. I just get really upset about canoes.
I never wanted
that to. That is the most Canadian thing I've ever heard in my life.
Anyway, he could steer my canoe.
I mean, same.
Can you elaborate?
It's like barbecuing. Boys always want to be the ones who barbecue because men make fire, men make meat. I make a better steak, asshole.
Is that like prehistoric fact?
What do you mean?
Did men
really invent fire?
I think lightning invented fire.
Men found fire.
What gender is lightning?
I do agree. I cook my food better on a barbecue than other people because, you know, I know my preferences.
Well, that's because when you don't cook, you don't cook.
But it's like a lot of men that just do barbecue, it's like, that's exactly it. They just do barbecue. They don't cook.
And after a while, they're good at it.
Yeah.
Like anyone else. I suck at cooking because I don't do it.
No. He was never good at barbecue.
No. My dad's okay. Well, Madison would be great.
I bet he's great at
barbecue. That's a good name. Madison's a good name.
I don't like it.
For me, that's a girl's name.
I know.
Yeah, it is, but I like it on a guy.
It's not bad, no. No, it's just a bit weird to me.
I think it's a lot to do with my parents. Like, they really truly believe that a name is just for one gender. Like me, I was supposed to be André, did not come out with a penis, so they had to completely start at zero, find me another name that finished with an A, took days, but they found Josie. But like, even now, like, Michelle is just a girl's name.
I'm sorry,
like
Mike.
But it's Mike, it's not Michelle.
Well.
My parents would disagree.
But it's just the way that my parents taught me. So Madison is a girl's name, and I have a hard time.
You're so binary specific.
I know.
I love boys and girls' names, and like typically boy and girls' names switch. Like, I love Maxim for a girl, mm-hmm. and
what if I name my daughter Kent?
That's a count.
I mean, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want. I want to name my daughter Olive, so.
I always like that in Dawson's Creek, the girl's named Joey. Like, I find that's cute.
I like that.
Are we calling them Maddie?
No. That's even more feminine,
yeah.
So it's the full Madison or just Sun?
No, Mads.
Mads.
Son.
Mads.
Mads.
Yeah. Or he'd be Jeffries.
I would call him Jeff.
Oh, probably, so. Actually. Or just be Mad. Mad Jeff.
We never call anyone by their last
Mad Jeff.
Name.
Mad Jeff.
Mad Jeff. That's when he goes rogue.
He also has like a brother who has the opposite power.
Who's sad.
He doesn't get his own entry. He doesn't get his own entry, but. But he
destroys.
No, but he has to touch. But when he touches, maybe Madison Jeffries has to touch as well. I mean, there's like a component where he's like touching that technology. But instead of technology, his brother can transform flesh. That's terrible.
Oh, I don't want to see like that.
Yeah.
Ew.
Oh, he's in an institution. You can't touch him. And he's always trying to move his head towards you or something.
Oh my God.
Also, his name's Lionel, and I don't like that name.
Yeah. Lionel. And just like create a mess of flesh out of people.
Oh,
mess of flesh.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But can he like.
He's in an institution in Montreal.
Can he like give you a tummy
tuck? In Montreal.
Yeah, what? His brother's in Montreal. He's at McGill. He's in a like a study unit in
but
McGill.
But McGill University. Is an English school, so.
Who knows? Who knows?
See anything you like? Want to see what I can do with some spare parts? Relax.
Oh my lord.
The jester.
Wow.
A struggling actor with a huge ego.
Yeah, you know what? You know, you could just stop there.
Like, I mean, isn't that all actors? I hope that's his Tinder profile description. Oh,
man. Jonathan Powers got his big break in an off-Broadway revival of Cyrano de Bergerac. Oh. But he was panned by critics, booed by the audience, and disdained by fellow actors. He was fired after one performance.
Wow.
But then he continued to obsessively train in the various skills that make for a versatile actor. Fencing, acrobatics, bodybuilding. Everything except acting. Because, you know, he's got the natural talent for it. The only job he could get was on a local television show as a clown who gets hit in the face with pies every episode. When he had enough, he did the thing anyone might do. He called the criminal weapons maker known as the Tinkerer and equipped himself for a life of crime. His gimmicks included slippery marbles, a yo-yo to use as a garrote, exploding popcorn and juggler's balls, a boxing glove that shoots out with an extender. He based his crimes on toys and pranks and was defeated by Daredevil. He's appeared only rarely since. He's a mad soul who feels the only way to deal with life is with comic relief, but his idea of comedy is quite deadly. Maybe it's his statement on how humor and cruelty are closely related, and maybe he's just off his nut. Pictured throwing everything he's got at Daredevil.
So the criminal weapon maker Tinkerer, that's basically Acme, right? The Acme from the Looney Tunes?
If you want. I think it's also, he's the guy in the Homecoming that makes the weapons for the Vulture. I think that's the one.
I saw an MRI or something of a professional yo-yo player's hand this week. I just happened to see it.
An MRI?
I don't know what it was, but it was something
X-ray?
Like...
X-ray?
No, it wasn't an X-ray because you could see the blood vessels. Most of the blood vessels on his yo-yoing fingers were dead.
Wow.
Because of all the, like, tension from the yo-yoing. Don't see professional yo-yo players, guys, if you want feeling in your index finger.
Is it index?
But you can make so much money, you can fix that.
It was the index, I think.
No, I would always put it in
I assume that's where it would be cut off.
Wow. That's horrifying.
Yeah, Jose found it.
Oh.
That's messed up.
Wow.
That's alarming.
He's, like, basically dead.
Well, no.
In that one part of his body. Well, it's fine, because all he does with his yo-yo is just throw it at people.
Is this, like, a garage?
That's just a one trick.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, this guy does not seem fun. No. I'm gonna be honest, I don't want to hang out with him at all.
No.
He sounds like an asshole.
I mean, he's basically the Joker.
Yes.
But just, like less talented.
Yeah, knockoff.
But the jester.
His design kind of looks like the dude in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Clopin, you mean?
Yeah.
But not well made.
Clopin is so much better. But ironically, kind of like the community theater version. Just like, that's close enough.
Yeah, I'm again getting very Robin Hood Men in Tights look. Except the feet.
The feet works out. He definitely works out.
And his tights are loose, which I find weird.
Yeah.
It's like he put on tights that were too long.
Just went with it.
It's not shoes.
Did he make his own costume? Did he take glasses?
That's why it's poorly made.
That's his first costume he ever made. He was like, well, I'm good.
I'm a villain now.
This ass would definitely want to steer the canoe.
Who did he play in Cyrano?
Cyrano?
Well, the lead.
Cyrano. Oh, he did it. Actually played the lead. Okay.
Wouldn't it suck to learn all those lines and then be fired after one performance? I can see why he turned to crime.
Honestly, I feel like they should have told him before. Like, they should have been working with him.
Yeah, like, there was the general
on everything.
They
must have known it was bad.
There's a rehearsal process.
Yeah.
But
there's auditions. But it depends. Rehearsal.
It depends why he was fired. Like, if he was, like, all right, but his personality was just
no,
so
he
shitty.
Was booed. No, they said all that right. He sucked.
Which
he was
booed
and by critics.
I think rehearsal process, everybody hated him.
Oh.
But, you know, let's go on with the show, right? He was reviled by the other actors.
Too far into
and
it.
Then,
I
yeah.
know, but, like, if he's bad, rehearsal or not, he's bad. Fire him. Before the show.
But exactly like
your
said,
studies.
He's been, like, learning this and just
don't
kind
care.
Of feel bad.
Bad director?
But
yeah.
also...
We'll see the director next
really?
Time he turns to crime. No. But imagine it.
It could have been true. Who knows?
Because that's a failure on the part of the director
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so he's going to turn to crime.
We're assuming that it's like a good production of it.
Off Broadway.
Maybe everyone sucks.
Off Broadway is still legit, though. It just means you're not on that street. Like, it's still good.
So if I do it in my backyard, am I off Broadway?
No. Off-Broadway. It's a specific place. It's very weird.
You're like, off. I don't like his smile.
It looks
like he's clearly... He's faking his confidence.
He's cocky. Yeah. He reminds me of that asshole I used to lifeguard with.
Sounds fun.
He does motivational speaking now.
Yeah.
So he turned to crime as well.
It's just that I find that even the pose, like the hand on the hip and the smile, he just looks like a cocky asshole.
Oh my god, I can't unsee it. He's totally that guy.
The mask and the hat piece is... I hate it.
I kind of like the hat.
Oh?
It looks like a nightcap.
It's silly, but I kind of like it. Sure. And I kind of like the tassels on the top thing.
Costume is alright, actually.
No, I don't hate it. I honestly don't hate it.
The tassels looked like it should be on a table.
It was a table.
I don't get why there's like this orange part with the tips on top of his eyes. Look, why? Just why?
That's what I don't like, actually.
I agree that that's not great. If that wasn't there and it was just like the hat, I think it'd be better.
And the yo-yo should be a different color to call back to the tassels or something.
Mm. I don't like that the gloves are different colors.
Oh, what the?
I think that's
a misprint.
May be a misprint because in the bottom picture he's got two orange gloves. But who knows?
Okay, then.
It better be a mistake.
Fine.
Wait, do we see his hair? Or is it sort of like a...
I'd rather not.
He has brown hair.
So is he wearing like... he's wearing sort of like a turtleneck, and then like a hoodie, and then a cap,
and a mask.
And then a mask.
With a long nose. So did he steal like the Cyrano de Bergerac?
Well, that's not how you play. Maybe it's a very bad production.
It's a very bad production.
You don't have a fake nose, but you're just wearing a mask.
Maybe that's the reference.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I figured.
Does he see himself as a Cyrano? Like an underdog that's really actually good and no one really...
Yes, I think so.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably a conscious choice of whoever did this in the first place. People aren't taking him seriously and yet they really should. Like, he should be, you know, like, oh my god, this guy's wonderful and no one believes
but him. But should they?
He thinks that.
Yeah. He sees him like that. Everyone else is like, boo, the guy sucks.
He's a cocky cock.
I don't like him.
Also, like the guy I used to lifeguard with.
Does he have, like, a ridiculous amount of objects to throw?
I also don't like that. Like, I think it's too gimmicky and I'm not into it.
Explosive. So, I think I know the answer, but is the jester hot or not?
Yeah. Burn in hell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a hot take right there.
I just want the exploding popcorn because I'm really hungry.
Yeah, I think having something explosive that actually essentially exploded itself is funny. Yeah.
And delicious.
See, maybe he is a comedian.
No, he's not.
No, that was
I just want the food. That's not him. That's the tinkerer.
And honestly, I think this might be a mean thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
About a fictional character?
No, this is just kind of my general vibe. If you're not a funny person, that's fine. But I find it really irritating if you're not a funny person, but you think that you are.
So every muggle ever.
That to me is really irritating. I don't like being around people that aren't funny, but really believe that they are.
Yeah.
It's,
I'm so sorry.
And this guy. No, but you are funny. I don't hang out with these people.
And you're also not like, I'm so funny. I'm the funniest in the world. I find
That's why I hate the most.
A person like that.
I find that these people who think they're funny but are not are like those teenagers that are like, I'm so weird.
Yeah.
I'm so weird and eccentric.
Yeah.
I find it exhausting.
Just be weird. Don't tell us.
Yeah.
Clown, king of clowns, leave the stage at once. Thrice happy he who hides from pomp and power.
Wretch! Did I not forbid you to appear this month?
Thrice happy he who...
He who indeed. Donkey, say rather hee-haw! Begone! Or
must I come and help you off the stage myself?
My goodness.
My God, it's person heavy.
Oh, I'm in.
Jones, comma Rick. Rick Jones.
Rick Jones.
The Marvel Universe's ultimate sidekick. Rick Jones started his story by being the foolish kid who decided to take a shortcut through a gamma bomb testing site, forcing Bruce Banner to run out and push him into a trench, thereby getting a dose of gamma radiation himself and becoming the Hulk.
Oh, yeah!
Right. Rick became the Hulk's only friend and confidant from then on. To keep tabs on the Hulk, Rick created the Teen Brigade, kids who used CB radios to share information about the Hulk so Rick could find him, and who were instrumental in the creation of the Avengers. What? As they contacted each hero to join forces to fight a Loki-controlled Hulk, they made Rick, I mean the Avengers, made Rick an honorary Avenger. And not too long after, Rick became Captain America's new Bucky. Cap wasn't too sure about this, but it allowed him to train Rick in fighting and other necessary skills. Then Rick found himself drawn to a Kree weapon called the Negabands. He put them on and is compelled to strike them together, which sends him into the negative zone and replaces him with the original male Captain Marvel. Until Marvel strikes the negative bands again and Rick returns. The two are a duo even after Rick returns via the Fantastic Four's portal to the negative zone and can then coexist with Captain Marvel, during which time Rick pursues a music career. I want to say a country music career, but maybe that's because there's an actual country singer called Rick Jones. Anyway, Rick eventually became part of the Hulk family again and even became a Hulk himself. But that's way beyond this point. He was once an idealistic teenager, but he's seen too much, experienced too many tragedies.
Same.
He's now a mature young man who does what he feels is right, usually by encouraging superheroes to join a cause. We see him with different heroes he's been associated with, striking the Negabands together in that first picture, then fighting Hydra as Bucky, arguing with the Hulk, playing guitar, and looking very thin there, probably from the time he had gamma radiation-induced cancer, he got better.
Jesus.
Floating in the negative zone and shocked to see Annihilus there. On the ground as Captain Marvel fights Ronan the Accuser. What? And being hit with a gamma radiation blast in the experiment that temporarily turned him into a Hulk.
I have a question, and on this will hinge my entire opinion of this dude.
Wow, okay.
In this guitar picture.
Yes.
Is he at a party?
No.
He looks like he's like just in his dorm room.
I like, because he's
working on lyrics.
But he's clearly playing Wonderwall.
Yeah, he's sitting there at a party. Playing Wonderwall.
I think he's in his
bedroom. Why would it be Wonderwall?
Because it's always Wonderwall.
Always Wonderwall.
Well, I think the picture...
I said maybe.
Well, you know what clip to play.
Picture is pre-Wonderwall. I believe the picture is pre-Wonderwall.
Well, maybe Oasis saw this and they were like, I'm going to write Wonderwall for this dude. So that every dude at a party with a rudimental understanding of guitar can bug the shit out of whoever's there.
And they saw him and was like, it's going to be the one that saves me.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I can't listen to that song anymore.
Like on the radio. No one can.
I know, but like,
even except my sister apparently.
I heard someone request it unironically. I laughed. It was awkward.
I find he looks like a colorful Danny Zuko. And I enjoy it very much.
He is so cute. In the list of things that I would wear.
Again, yes.
This I would wear. I would absolutely wear this whole thing.
It's so Archie Andrews.
Oh my God, yes. I think that's, like, I love the physique, but the look is a bit too classic American for me. Like, the clothes, I mean.
Yeah, it's a little James Dean, but more color.
Which I am so in for.
Me too.
To be honest, but it's like, just kind of exciting to have, like, Converse sneakers. Like, I love it. We always have such weird shoes in these things, but this is just, like, normal sneakers, and I'm here for it.
Just drop Jester, and we've had, like, kind of a nice shoe.
Yeah, and, like, the Jester shoes.
Where it's, like, tight shoes.
And, like, the pants are cuffed, and that's nice.
Even actually just, like, pants.
Regular two pairs of jeans in this, episode. Right.
Like, regular looking pants.
You go, boys.
I love that jacket.
Yeah. It's Can I have that jacket?
I literally bought a jacket that looks like this, like, a couple weeks ago.
I like that he's a sidekick, and... It's not because he doesn't believe in himself. It's not because, you know, it's just because he's a pretty good sidekick. And, he wants people to be the best heroes they can be.
The only
That's
thing
so
would,
sweet.
The only thing I would complain about is you don't replace Bucky. No one replaces Bucky.
Well, that's just comics.
Well, Bucky was dead.
Shh, at the time. I know. He's in the Book of the
Dead.
There was
no way Bucky was ever going to return.
And yet.
He was like, there's Uncle Ben, mm-hmm. Bucky.
Bruce Wayne's parents,
they don't return.
Yeah.
But and then they brought back the Bucky. Universe. Yeah, they brought back Bucky.
So there's hope for Uncle Ben?
However, when he's getting blasted with gamma rays, that looks absolutely terrible. Like, yeah, that's
horrifying.
Who's like, looking at it?
Yeah, who's that person going like, oh no?
Like, she looks like if she's banging on the glass being like,
because that is not the face of a person that's having a good time.
No, it looks awful and painful. Mm-hmm. But also, what is this tentacle thing in the back?
Yeah, that tentacle thing. Is that a character that we're going to see?
Have we already seen it?
You've seen it in a movie.
No, I have not.
Because it's in the Captain Marvel movie. That's the Kree High Intelligence. So we just hear the voice, right? But that's it really looks
so like. So we missed out on the tentacle squiddy face?
Will turn up in the...
I feel like those tentacles aren't big enough for that face.
Supreme Intelligence, that's what it's called.
Maybe the big ones are on the bottom.
Also, there's kind of ones that are coming out of his tear ducts, and I don't like it.
Yeah. That's I mean, it doesn't help that I'm watching a lot of Doctor Who and Torchwood, but it makes me think of the face of Bo.
Is the top picture, is that supposed to be, like, in motion? Because it's very confusing to me.
They're taking a picture.
It's the bottom part of a cover.
Ah.
So we're not seeing Captain America there.
Oh, yeah, that's Captain America's crotch. They saved the right part.
Nice.
America's crotch.
I approve of this crotch.
I mean, that's a decent bulge.
These are all individual soldier men.
Okay, so it's not like one person going real fast.
Real fast Hydra agents.
Hydra soldiers.
Okay. Oh my god! Well, I thought it was because I saw like the red of Captain America's boot and then his red. So I thought when I looked quickly that it was just two people fighting, but like they tried to make it more dynamic.
Okay, I'm down with that explanation.
I mean, I too would be wrapped around his legs.
You know what?
I don't feel like that panel with Hulk looks like they're in an argument.
No, it looks like if he's angry and the Hulk's like, but what about my side of the story?
Yeah, I said argue, but maybe he's just saying, you have to go over there, kind of thing.
It does. It feels like the Hulk just grounded him.
Yeah.
No, you know what? It feels like he's like frustrated.
Rick has grounded the Hulk.
He's trying to make the Hulk understand what he has to do because it's the Hulk.
Oh.
It's not super smart Hulk. It's other Hulk.
I'm in that same vein, except my explanation is more dumb. It looks to me like they've been trying to decide where to go eat for a really long time. And he's just like, okay, but you just need to pick somewhere.
He's like, oh, but I don't know.
Okay, your explanation's funnier, but really, I saw it as, she's right there, you need to save her,
I mean,
or something like that.
You're probably right. And I doubt that
I wanted to be right.
I like his suit in that Hydra... cover
the Bucky suit
image, yeah, it's good. I really like it with the red hair. It looks great.
So when he does the thing with his wrists and the thing that he clangs together, what did you call it? A negative space?
The nega bands send him to the negative zone.
So what does he do in the negative zone?
I guess he floats around.
Yeah, he does that.
So this panel seems like this would also be my reaction if it was just like.
Yeah, he usually sits around on one of these asteroids.
Oh, that's pretty boring. Bring a book.
Yeah, no, it's the replacement trope where the hero, you can only have Rick Jones or the hero in the universe. And then,
he just sits on the asteroid and waits for his turn?
Well, eventually he did come out of it. They did
bring a book and a snack.
Do you actually see him sitting on the asteroid being late?
Who does he trade with?
Captain Marvel. Okay.
So what does Captain Marvel do? Just like sit on an asteroid as too?
Yeah.
Well, Captain Marvel could like fly around at least in the negative zone.
I imagine.
From asteroid to asteroid. Hopscotch.
But wait, what's the move he needs to do? Sailor Moon?
Yes.
Very sexy.
I love it. How long are they approximately in this negative zone for? Do they need to sleep?
I mean, they're just being, switching.
Maybe time's different in the negative zone. Maybe it's like, it's been minutes, but it feels like months.
Or the opposite.
The opposite.
That would be better.
I know, but the opposite.
We wouldn't call it the negative zone then. Yeah, it would be like the...
No,
it's so bad zone.
I don't think it's negative, like, ooh, the bad zone.
I know, it's negative as in negative space.
Yeah.
But it's funnier.
Negative space.
But there are other things there.
Yeah, Nihilus, like Blastar, I mean,
bad guys.
This is a negative zone.
He's just like, shit. I didn't bring anything with me this time.
At least he gets to keep his clothes. It would suck to be in the negative zone naked.
Yeah, you don't want that.
It would be freezing.
On that note, is Rick Jones hot or not?
When he's not in the negative zone and freezing, he is hot.
I like him. I think hot. I like him a lot.
Yeah. I like that he is a sidekick, but is not like a battle of egos or something, that he's cool with that position and feels that he contributes actually to the thing.
Sometimes leadership is about bringing the best out of people, not necessarily being at the front of the army.
Yeah.
Yes.
See.
And also, snaps.
Leadership snaps.
You know what else I love? Lipton sidekicks.
Yeah, that was not getting a snap.
It's a comfort food, okay?
Other flu products.
Are available. Sponsored.
Definitely a hot.
Oh, super hot. I'm slightly aroused, but I think it's Captain America's crotch. It's so bulgy, I just can't.
We'll worry that with friends.
Oh god, it's so good.
Today's gonna be the day that they're gonna give it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe in anybody that feels the way I do about you now.
Art credits: John Jameson by John Romita Jr., Madison Jeffries by Kevin McGuire, Jester by Carrie Gamble, Rick Jones by James Fry.
Afternoon, everybody.
Ryan!
How's that baby treating you, Mr. Daly?
Like Thanos snapping his fingers at my bank account.
In that case, how about a beer on the house?
Sure, gotta give my mouth something to do between podcasts.
Say, Ryan, I don't get how you have so much time for podcasting. Doesn't your wife want you spending time with the baby?
Would you? Truth is, I think she's a little worried about how much time I'm spending with the kid, ever since his first words were Dagobah system. Now she wants me to go out and do something mature, something productive, and most of all, something lucrative that can support the family.
So you're going to...
podcast about Cheers, yeah. That kid's not going to start college for 18 years. I got time. Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Coming soon to the Fire and Water Network.
Female bag.
Woo!
This is all your comments about episode number 54. Iron Man, Jack of Hearts, Jack-O-Lantern, J. Jonah Jameson. Let's look at Iron Men.
Okay.
The two Iron Men.
There's so
with
many.
Pleasure.
Often first to comment, Chris Franklin says, I like the Silver Centurion armor, as it was often called, at the time. But you can tell it was heavily influenced by the Transformers craze. I do
sure.
Like, well.
No, yeah, I think of, you can tell.
Yeah, like I agree with
mechanical
that.
Music.
It's more like clunky like they are.
I do like the color scheme as an alternative, which is another reason I love that Monaco scene in Iron Man 2 with the suitcase armor, which was inspired by this one. I think there is a more boxy red and silver white armor in Iron Man 3 as well, when all the armors are flying around, but you can't keep up with those. Rhodey not getting an unmasked headshot is kind of odd. In 1984, so the year before this, Mattel released an Iron Man figure in their Secret Wars toy line. His file card said it was Jim Rhodes, because that's who it was in the Secret Wars series. But the Secret Shield flicker image showed Tony Stark.
What?
So, not a great track record for portraying a black man as Iron Man outside of his own comic.
Ooh, that
and
sucks.
I'm sorry, how did I never notice that looks like a Care Bear in action?
The chest.
5, 4, 3,
What's his drawing on his chest, like scotch or
a big wrench?
Penis missile.
It's just a bunch of money.
It's a money sign.
Money!
And it says, I definitely like the red gold armor as opposed to the silver version. It also makes more sense that Tony would have penis missiles. He's such a player. I wonder what he would call the barrage of penis missiles as a maneuver. Perhaps he calls it a dick move. I'm going to take that intonation with Angie's puns from now on.
I don't know, when you said barrage, my thought went all the way to like a cog block.
No, I was saying dick move in my head, so I'm proud that he said that. You're just like us.
Mike Dina says, I always liked the Silver Centurion armor because the change seemed like a special event since he had the golden armor for so long. Now it seems every issue there's a new type of armor, so it doesn't seem as special anymore. We got Lizanne Oswald who says, I always liked the Silver Centurion armor. It's no Iron Man 2020. Which I probably should find a way to show someday, because it is 2020. But it's cool. At this point, Rhodey had a mini afro, not a box cut. With the box hair cut, he looked more like Michael J. White than Don Cheadle. Time Priest says Silver Iron Man was so cool as a new character design, even with the very 80s shoulder pads. I do wish it would come back, but not Tony's Jerry Curl hairdo. Rhodey as Iron Man made for some great stories. The only Avengers who knew Tony's secret were Wasp, Captain America, Thor, and Tigra, and he looped in a nerdy co-worker from Stark Enterprises to help him run the suit. But other than that, he tried to keep it under wraps that he was the new Iron Man, which makes sense. Or you could see supervillains trying to take advantage of that. The rep of Iron Man kind of made bad guys be cautious, whereas if they knew a rookie was in the armor, they'd have let loose on poor Rhodey. And talk about going through imposter syndrome. Yeah. Lots of love for Rhodey.
Rhodey's fine. I love him.
Next up was Jack of Hearts.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Chris Franklin says, I'm kind of surprised he got a hot. He's a hot mess of a concept, that's for sure. Comic nerds cite George Perez as designing intricate costumes that are hard for other artists to duplicate, but I doubt any equal old Jack here. Rob Kelly's got a cool story. He says, the reason the character never really took off is because artists hated drawing the intricate costume and would sometimes flat out refuse to do a book if he was in it. Case in point, back when I was in art school, says Rob, he went to the comic book art school.
Really?
Wow.
Don't encourage him.
Sure, then move.
He says, one of my...
Move.
The Joe Kubert School. He says, one of my instructors was the legendary Tex Blaisdell, who at one point in his career was doing a lot of background work. Apparently, not too long before I knew him, a Marvel editor contacted him about inking a book under a heavy deadline. Tex asked what the book was, and he was simply told Spider-Man. Tex gets the pages, and he sees it's a Marvel team-up with Spider-Man and the Jack of Hearts. Tex takes one look at the costume and calls the editor, complaining about how much work this book will be, with Jack of Hearts on nearly every page. Tex then found out that the editor got turned down by about half a dozen other inkers once they learned Jack of Hearts was the co-star. By the time he called Tex, he knew just to mention Spider-Man only and hoped he could sneak the book by. Tex was not shy about voicing his displeasure generally, so I can only imagine he ripped the editor a new one. The credited inker for the issue I'm thinking of, which is Marvel Team-Up number 134, was finally done by Mike Exposito, whose rep was being able to turn around a book in a weekend when you had no other alternatives. Eric adds to this story. He says, at a recent convention, he met Keith Giffen, who drew Jack of Hearts' first appearance, and saw that he had a signposted... he had signposted his rates for drawing sketches and commissions. He says, as I recall, for most sketches, he charged $150 for a full figure drawing. But if you wanted Jack of Hearts, it would cost you $750.
Wow.
Just because he hates drawing that costume.
Then why did he draw?
You do it once and then you go never again.
You're like, oh, it's out of my head.
Yeah, Keith Giffen is also well known as having done this giant poster with all the Legion characters on it that was so big and so many characters that it broke him. And he had to quit comics for a little while.
Wow.
And when he came back, he had a completely different style.
What?
Yep.
That's interesting.
That's like a movie.
It should be.
Why don't they make movies about comic book writers?
Or artists.
Drawing. Yeah. Inkers and artists.
There are too few. You are correct. There's one about the Wonder Woman creator.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his polyamorous relationship.
Oui.
Like one of my...
Yeah, that's the one I can name.
Like one of my favorite mangas is about kids making and writing mangas, and it's hilarious.
See? Yeah, I mean, it might be on the horizon. I could see that they would do that eventually.
But
yeah,
get on it, Marvel.
Well, people know the characters now, so...
So they care about the ones.
Well, you know, with all that superhero fatigue.
Brian Linton says, my only experience with this character was his guest appearance in an issue or two of Silver Surfer, Volume 3, number 76 through 78. As I recall, he seemed an interesting enough character. It's a shame that his costume design may have dissuaded creators from using him more often, which in turn may have kept him from becoming a more fully developed and interesting character. Why didn't anyone redesign his costume?
That was what I was going to say. Like, yeah. I mean, they've not done it with so... Like, just look at freaking Iron Man. There's so many freaking designs.
Well, here's the answer, Shotgun. He says, wait a second.
And then never!
He goes, pause for quick Google search. And then he goes, Jack actually received a sleek new costume without a crotch arrow in the same Silver Surfer story that he mentions.
What?
When he met the character, it was not that costume. So I guess his overly complicated costume design was not the only reason he never took off. Mm-hmm. Swinebird says, I've been waiting for this episode for a while because Jack of Hearts is one of my favorite characters of all time.
Oh, wow.
And yes, being an old comics fan, I never really noticed the crotch arrow. Besides that, I always considered Jack to be an allegory of what it's like to be biracial from two different worlds, but never being truly embraced by either. The left half of his body is a purplish blue thanks to his alien DNA, and in the heart around his eye, that's a makeup stick-on thing. When Jack first went into space, it was to rescue his mother's home planet, Contraxia, which was icing over as its star was dying. After succeeding at that, he went deeper into space. The Contraxia planet actually showed up in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I was super excited that maybe Jack could show up in the MCU someday. Yeah, right. His four-issue miniseries had quite wonderful artwork from George Freeman while being written by Bill Mantlo, who also created Rocket Raccoon. He's mostly been a supporting character and not been around much, as others have said, because of the complexity of his costume. Jack of Hearts really is an interesting superhero, and I wish he had gotten more of him over the years. Always a Jack, never a king. And yeah, that planet is... That's the snowy planet where Sylvester Stallone is hanging out with Howard the Duck. That's Contraxia. You know the planet with the bar and there's snow?
Yes, yeah,
that
okay.
That must be this icing over planet.
That's interesting. Awesome.
Mike Dina says, I feel the arrow is pointing to where he stores his zero fluid. You're banned from the show.
Please, no.
Liz Ann Oswald says, how did I not see the arrow to his joystick?
I don't know either.
The costume is now even weirder than I once thought. I get that the look is based on the Jack of Hearts playing card, but oi, the heart thing on his eye kind of works. Cool character, but he could use a character redesign. And Time Priest says, Jack of Hearts' costume is amazing. I totally understand why artists don't want to do it for comics, but I'm fine with it living on as pinups alone. Oh, and Ward Hill Terry says, man, Jack of Hearts' origin is more convoluted than his costume. Well, I don't know. Have you listened to the John Jameson's story?
Since someone mentioned a joystick, I must say that a joystick, using that word for a dick, that has many meanings, and I love it.
Is that a new thing now? That's what we're doing now? Joystick?
That's what we're using.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, it brings joy, and it's like a joystick. It's great. I love it.
I might enjoy video games now.
Hey. Yeah, you're a gamer now.
Stop mashing the buttons. Okay. Jack-o'-lantern. Chris Franklin says, Jack-o'-lantern is a cool visual for sure, and I wish they just left him alone and not had him become Hobgoblin. I always thought his flying thing looked like an 80s gimmicky toy, the Pogo Ball.
Higher and higher, I'm a Pogo Ball Master.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah, totally.
I know we're going to get to the scales, but imagine, put a wolf head on.
But it's still on fire.
Yes, absolutely. But underwater as well.
Ange says, the Ange outfit of the day is Jack-o'-lantern. I would totally wear that rig. Of course, I'm an avid Jack-o'-lantern carver, so it seems appropriate, and I realize that I will like almost anything Ditko draws. And I also wonder what he looks like without the mask. Mm-hmm. Would we say he is out of his gourd without it?
Maybe quite handsome.
enjoying this new side of Ange with puns.
It's now the same old puns. Side. I'm just doing a different intonation.
No, but it's helping.
He's always done this.
But I feel like the puns have increased over the last few years.
No, at least just worn us down.
Brighton Linton says, this may be a stretch, but the green scales on his armor may be intended to look like pumpkin leaves. No? Maybe. Oh, well, I give it a shot. I have to admit that I like the flames on the helmet, but they must play havoc with smoke alarms and fire sprinkler systems.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps the reason he wears fish scale armor is that he is constantly being doused in water by fire sprinklers. Still no. Curses foiled again. You sort of decided on your reaction here.
I think in the Marvel Universe, sprinklers don't exist. Like, it would always be on. Or, like, I don't think alarms exist either.
Yeah, everyone would have trench foot. It'd be bad.
Trench foot? Mike Dina says, I really enjoy that. Marvel villains seem to steal other villains' shticks. From Hobgoblin stealing Green Goblin's thing, and then Jack-O-Lantern stealing Hobgoblin's thing. Lizanne Oswald said, it's chainmail, not fish scales, or rather, scale armor, or scale mail, as it's called. Scale mail is a thing. It's the thing in D&D.
That's when you post, like, scales to other people. Scale mail.
She says, kind of what Aquaman wears, which is weird. He'd wear armor in the sea. Time Priest says Jack-O-Lantern, Ghost Rider, Fire Lord, and the Human Torch should have formed a Billy Joel cover band to perform We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
And then he says, I'll let myself out.
Why? It's great.
We're in. Let you back in.
He's decided on your reaction.
We're in. Stop.
Come back in.
There's J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yes.
Mike W. from Saskatchewan says, I think J. Jonah Jameson's first name would actually be John, like his son. In fact, I seem to recall him being John Jameson Jr., which makes his son John Jameson III, but maybe I'm just imagining that. And you are, Mike. My sources say it's Jonathan Jonah Jameson Jr.
What a mouthful.
Four J's.
Do we know for sure that John is just John? Jonathan?
That's true, right? We don't know that. Mike continues, says, I agree with the girls about Spidey's civilians being important. I think Spidey has the best supporting cast in comics, and it's one of the main reasons why he's my favorite character. Chris Franklin says, what a complex character! Complex because in a lot of ways, there's no real good motivation set for his hatred of Spider-Man in the early comics, especially when he started bankrolling supervillains and spider-slayers. J.K. Simmons' version is more relatable because they never went that far with him yet. And I hope they don't. It's a bridge too far, even if Lee and Ditko started it. Another interesting bit of business comes from Eric. He says, regarding the use of alliteration, the alliterative names, like Peter Parker, Bruce Banner, J. Jonah, were from series that Stan Lee wrote, because he found it a useful mnemonic device. The non-alliterative heroes, Tony Stark, Don Blake, Hank Pym, tended to be in the series where Stan came up with the plots, but left the final script writing to his brother, Larry Lieber. Maybe the reason Larry avoided using alliterative names is that he had one himself.
That's interesting.
Wow. I like this theory.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But Larry obviously didn't need that mnemonic device.
Like, in my brain, every time I hear his name, I just like, J. Jonah Jamenheimer Smith, his name is my name too.
I mean,
whenever we go, I just permanently in my brain.
Okay, speaking to that alliteration thing, Gothos Mansion says, the alliteration didn't always help Stan remember names either. He says, remember those Fantastic Four issues where Bob Banner turned into the Hulk?
Is that Bruce's younger brother?
I mean, he knew it was bees, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. There's also an issue of Spider-Man where Doc Ock calls him Superman.
Oops.
I don't know if that's Stan's fault or whoever was lettering.
And Paul Parker. Oh, no, it's autocorrect, clearly.
Mike Dina says, he was always that guy I love to hate. The 60s cartoon and J.K. Simmons just solidified that feeling. Parker! Lizanne Oswald said Stan has joked that he was based on him. Who knows? Time Priest says JJJ alternates between being a supremely competent newsman and the biggest BS artist. But either way, he was the guy you love to hate. And over the last 5 to 10 years, the comics have done some amazing things with him. And now I can't hate him anymore.
Really interesting.
Start reading Spider-Man, guys. And Ward Hill Terry says, has anyone ever explored JJJ's past? I don't have an answer to this. He says, what has puzzled me for years, at least since the first issue of Marvels, is how did he, a reporter in that story, get to the position of publisher and or owner? Did he come from money? Was he that determined and ruthless to not only rise from reporter to editor, but also to publisher? Was he the last man standing in some corporate collapse? But he's been seen as a young man. He was a reporter.
Maybe he was just working for his father's newspaper.
And we know his father exists.
I mean, it's rare.
I just don't know the answer without going through a lot of comics to find out.
Well, we have all night.
What if actually John Jameson is not actually his son, it's just actually him and he time traveled?
The negative space zone.
Yeah. Thing. Where he acquired all of his journalism.
I would say that's ridiculous, but all the stories we told tonight.
Comics. Could ridiculous.
Be. You know what I want? I want people to draw the wolffish.
Yes, please.
Draw the wolffish.
Don't we have someone who's doing a drawing class?
Dr. G.
We have someone who went to a comic art school, apparently.
Dr. G, I'll give you a toonie if you draw it for us.
A toonie? Wait, send it by the post.
That's Big Bunny.
We'll send it through the scale mail.
I'll mail you a toonie.
What do I get if I make a drawing?
I'll give you a toonie.
This drawing is worth a toonie, so napkins.
And then we'll just... like right on a toonie, so it's gonna be a toonie Stark.
Terrible. Okay, Ange Jr., shut up. Chris Franklin.
Ange's my favorite.
Chris Franklin also asks, has there been a single episode with this many Marvel movie stars?
Probably not.
Because there were three. That's not true, actually. Three has happened before. We've had Baron Mordo, Baron Zemo, and Batroc all in the same episode, for example.
Yeah, but they're not really important.
Compared to Jesus.
Does substitute Iron Man count as a star?
Well, yes. He's War Machine in the movies, so he's a full-on Avenger.
Okay. I think after Shotgun's Burn, you should insert the
It's going to happen more and more as we see as the MCU expands, but the record actually belongs to episode 46.
You checked?
Of course I checked.
He has nothing better to do.
He's a professional.
Henry Gyrick, whatever, appears in the X-Men movies. Justin Hammer is in Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. Havoc is in the X-Men movies. And Hawkeye is in the Avengers movies.
Oh.
So that all four appeared in movies.
Oh, thank God I can sleep tonight.
Mystery solved.
Nobody came up with an answer for why Iron Fist was missing from Ohatmu, so I still don't have an answer for that. A lot of people went, oh, I never even noticed, or I did notice, but I'm not a reporter, so I don't know.
I really
I really hope they were just
doing a juggling motion.
Yes.
And a lot of people thank the girls for their custom Valentine's.
Aren't we great?
Yes, we are.
You need to go to bed. And even posted them online. Hopefully, they all got there and didn't get lost in the mail. Brian Linton says his is currently on display in the living room.
Aww.
As an added bonus, the arrival of the card gave him the opportunity to try and explain the concept behind the show to his wife and daughter. He says, I only hope my feeble attempt at an explanation did justice to this quirky little podcast. And Time Priest says, the Valentines were great. Thank you for making a couple for my daughters. Because we made sure, stuffed the envelope for the Price family. They remembered giving the cool drool feedback, so they realized who the letters were from right away.
Yeah.
I have to say, the show is now on Spotify.
Yeah.
So if that's how you prefer to consume your podcasts, I mean, no judgments.
Consume your podcast or be consumed by
it. I like to consume.
Just search for the show's title on that platform. Before we go, we have to mention also that we, the Fire and Water Podcast Network, has a Patreon page at patreon.com/FW Podcasts. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or a monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards. Guys, if you support this show in particular, if you say you're the sponsor of this show, then you get on the hot list and get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you. Last time you said Mike Dinas was ruthless at cards. Remember that?
Oh, right.
He says, I'm the furthest thing from a ruthless card player, but I'll certainly try, if just to take down Gene Hendricks.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
Did Gene answer about him being a gentleman at cards?
He did not.
Okay. Boop.
He did not. But let's throw a compliment at Mike Dinas this time.
Humble.
There you go.
That's very good. Gene Hendricks.
Kind.
We're doing so, one word.
Yeah, we're doing one word today. Right,
one word.
I'm Maggie Bellnier.
Hair.
Horse.
Horse. And that is horse.
She does kind of look like she could own a horse.
Yeah. Well, she has an account. It's Anne Marie's horse.
Yeah. I think it comes from the fact that the time she bought shampoo, that was for horse. And I always have that in the back of my mind. You know what? In French, chevre and chevaux is very similar.
That's why.
Yes.
Yeah, Isabelle.
Knitter.
Nat Plumin.
Given Nat Plumin's.
Miss you, Dick.
Oh, we were staying at that.
One word. We said one word.
Okay. No matter how good that one word is.
Male.
Very true.
True.
I want to give an update.
Would look great with a garter.
Absolutely. Speaking of Luke, I just want to mention that last podcast, we said that I was maybe going to have a house at this episode. It is not true. We're still looking.
You do not, yeah.
Just in case you guys were interested. All
right. Edge of their seats over there.
Yeah, not happening.
All right, say goodbye.
Bye.
You. We love you.
Goodbye.
Go to bed now.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
Is that the space suit leaking?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Is everyone overtired?
Yes!
Oh my god.
It's a wolf. Let's record this then.
I thought I was the only one in that kind of mood.
You don't want to know.
We just discussed not touching our face and we all just individually touched a different part of our own face.
I touched my forehead, it doesn't count.
I touched like the neck part. And you touch the eyes and you the nose.
I touched everything. Okay. I'm all constantly of
Here is my mucus.
Your germs are my germs.
Germs are fun.